Israel has murdered an estimated 30,000 civilians, including thousands of children, and they rape their prisoners.
The war in Gaza has one of the lowest ratios of combatants to non-combatants casualties in the history of urban warfare. Practically none. You want to know why? Because Israel got the civilians out of harm's way, something people said we could never do, but we did it.
Like submissive zombies, the U.S. Congress stood and applauded the infamous war criminal, Netanyahu, after he bragged about being a humanitarian and continued their compliance as he sold the U.S. war with Iran.
Which country ultimately stands in the way of Iran's maniacal plans to impose radical Islam on the world? And the answer is clear. It's America. In Beirut, they killed 241 U.S. servicemen. In Africa, they bombed American embassies. In Iraq, they supplied explosives to maim and kill thousands of American soldiers. Iran understands that to truly challenge America, it must first conquer the Middle East. And for this, it uses its many proxies, including the Houthis, Hezbollah, and Hamas. Yet in the heart of the Middle East, standing in Iran's way, is one proud pro-American democracy, my country, the State of Israel.
Much of Congress has been bribed by AIPAC or blackmailed on Epstein Island, but the rest are religiously on board.
There have been two nations created to glorify God, Israel and the United States of America. I will bless both, I will honor both, I will do all I can to stand and defend them.
The U.S. has an intrinsic interest in making sure that Israel not only receives our best prayers and offers of success, but our armaments, our money.
I would label the Baptist or the evangelical community as extreme because I believe, feel like they're following the scripture and what the scripture says about Israel. Those who bless Israel will be blessed. I mean, they take it literal, and I'm one of those people.
Their faith is in their prophecy. And so even though the State of Israel did not exist prior to the United Nations creating it in 1948, they insist that reality match their beliefs. And for many American Christians, it will always be Israel first.
We must vote for politicians who stand for Israel.
Our nation has been blessed because we have blessed Israel, but as we as a nation turn against Israel, then we receive repercussions.
And America has had a long record. Now, I think the dividing line of what we'll look for with politicians is where they are on the two-state solution. If a politician says, well, Palestinians need to have land from Israel, sorry, you have just stood against Israel, and you're not, God's not going to bless you.
Many of these fanatics not only expect Armageddon, they want to see it and help bring it about. Many believe that the mention of the words Gog and Magog twice in the Bible is to be interpreted as a final world war between Israel and its enemies, who religious leaders have decided are Russia and Iran.
This is called the Gog-Magog War. It's 3.5 years after the rapture of the church. Ezekiel 38:15 records this war. And you shall come from your place out of the north parts, you and many people with you. In other words, Russia is going to bring about 10 nations with them to come against Israel in the latter days. The latter days are right now. Ezekiel prophesied that the invading armies would come to Israel from the far north. The far north is not Turkey. It's Russia.
Putin has made it clear that if Israel and the U.S. attack Iran, Russia will fight with Iran. In response to Netanyahu's speech, former President Trump posted on Truth Social for America to wipe Iran off the face of the earth if he's assassinated. Israel is committing the biggest genocide ever witnessed in real time. And while the majority of humanity is uniting against it, the U.S. government and its evangelical influence is making it all possible.
Bible prophecy always begins and ends with Israel. The countdown to Armageddon has begun, and our only hope is that Jesus will return soon.
Why don't you share that Bandai video? The New World Order is going to take everything you got. They're going to take your children's soul. Are you going to keep bowing down to these people? You going to let this scum rule over you? It's time to break their will. It's time to say, I don't care what the hell you do to me. And I don't know how this is going to end. But if you want to fight, you better believe you've got one.
It's Friday, August 2nd, in the year of our Lord, 2024. And you're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
I think it's time to blow this thing, get everybody in the stuff together.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to The American Journal. Friday broadcast. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live from Austin, Texas, here at the InfoWars World Headquarters. We have a lot to discuss today. A lot of J.D. Vance news. Got some Kamala Harris and her potential VP pick, Josh Shapiro. Although, about one day of research into Josh Shapiro's past means he might not be the VP pick after all. So we'll get into some of what's been uncovered about him. Keir Starmer, the UK Prime Minister, came out and gave a speech about the right-wing riots that took place following the brutal, horrific stabbing attack in Southport. We'll show you that and get into what is being unveiled there and the very simple problem, reaction, solution paradigm where you bring in tens of millions of incompatible and completely isolated and you know, ethnically insulated foreigners, and then punish anybody protesting this in a very brutal fashion. We have a lot to get to, and a lot of videos to get to. I'm going to take your calls throughout the show today as well. But we'll begin today, as we do every day, with our Daily Dispatch. All right, here it is, folks, your Daily Dispatch for Friday, the 2nd of August, 2024. Americans freed from Russian prisons under landmark exchange deal land back in the U.S. On Thursday, U.S. and Russia completed their largest prisoner swap in post-Soviet history. The deal involved 24 people, months of negotiation, and concessions from other European nations who released Russians in their custody as part of the exchange. And we'll get into exactly who these people were and how they were exchanged. Donald Trump making some comments about this. Joe Biden making some incomprehensible and nonsensical comments about this. In fact, we'll go to that video in just a second. Meanwhile, acting Secret Service head personally directed cuts to threat assessment agents in advance of Butler Trump rally. It has been alleged by a whistleblower that acting Secret Service head Rao personally cut agents from the threat assessment team leading up to the assassination attempt on Donald Trump in Butler, Pennsylvania on July 13th. In a letter from Senator Josh Hawley to acting USSS Director Ronald Howe, it states, a whistleblower has alleged to my office that the Secret Service Counter-Surveillance Division, the division that performs threat assessment of event sites before the event occurs, did not perform its typical evaluation of the Butler site and was not present on that day. This is significant because this group's duties include evaluating potential security threats outside the security perimeter and mitigating those threats during the event. And it just so happens that it was Ronald Rowe, who personally kept them away from Butler, Pennsylvania. And he's the one that's now been promoted to acting Secret Service head. And we'll get back into that. Meanwhile, Biden-Harris task force urges online age verification digital ID tool development. An online digital age verification creep in the U.S. continues from a number of directions through recommendations and studies. Essentially, the government is nudging the industry to move in the direction of implementing digital ID age verification tools. At this point, it's happening via various initiatives and legislation, still without being formally mandated. But this is the incrementalism that we discuss as they get these little pieces put into place so they can all be activated at once. And that's the Mark of the Beast system. Josh Shapiro, potential Harris VP pick, cancels weekend fundraisers. The Pennsylvania governor has been scheduled to headline events in the Hamptons for his own campaign committee. Vice President Kamala Harris is expected to announce her running mate selection by Tuesday. Josh Shapiro, Pennsylvania governor, is one of the front runners to be Vice President Kamala Harris's running mate, but he's abruptly canceled a three-event fundraising swing through the Hamptons just days before Ms. Harris is expected to make her selection. Again, we'll get into Mr. Shapiro a little bit later. He's a bad dude. Let's just say he's a bad dude. And finally, we have this from Politico. Quote, he wants to take us back. Democrats eye new strategy against Trump's attacks on Harris. Former president's attacks have proven to be effective in the past at sucking up political oxygen. They say Kamala Harris is facing attacks from Donald Trump about her gender and identity as an Indian woman and a black woman. Do you see how the narrative is crafted? Do you see how this works? That he's asked a question about her being black. He says, well, she always said she was Indian until very recently, and now she's calling herself a black woman. This answer, this realistic and historically accurate answer to a question he was posed, is then framed as an attack on Kamala Harris by Trump. And now all of that context has been removed, and we're operating off of the premise of Donald Trump has launched an attack. Quote, Kamala Harris is facing attacks from Donald Trump about her gender and identity as an American Indian woman and a black woman. They just fabricate this stuff out of whole cloth. It really would be admirable if it weren't so devious. And they're just like, we have Democrats eye a new strategy against Trump. It's to call him racist. Oh, breaking new ground, Democrats. What an unexpected and shocking new development in the Democratic playbook. Call Trump racist. Ignore all policies. Cheat in the election. That is their playbook. That's it. It's three pages. And I just covered all of it. So that's your Daily Dispatch. Infowarsstore.com, of course, is where you go to support us in every way. We will not be here without you. We will not be here without you. Please go to Infowarsstore.com today to get what you need to improve your life and counteract the poisonous lifestyle that is being built around us. I have so many videos to get to today. I got to get them. Let's start with this story that we were just covering, this a prisoner exchange. I'll bring up Donald Trump's response to this on Truth Social. Americans freed from Russian prisons under landmark exchange deal land back in the U.S. On Thursday, the U.S. and Russia completed their largest prisoner swap in post-Soviet history. The deal involved 24 people, months of negotiation, and concessions from European nations who released Russians in their custody as part of the exchange. But remember, America is not at war anywhere in the world. Remember, President Biden insists that he is the first president in a very long time to preside over a world in which America is not at war anywhere. However, we are doing prisoner exchanges due to our proxy conflict that we're at war, folks. It's pretty obvious we are very much at war in the traditional sense, just not the technical sense. In other words, they're just openly lying about us being at war. Now, Biden, she's still not doing so great in the old brain realm. He's still a little bit confused, I think. I think he might think that he is still running against President Trump, or maybe the Democrats are just pathologically obsessed with him, Donald Trump. Because when Biden was asked about the prisoner exchange having to do with Trump, his answer made no sense at all. Just no sense whatsoever. Let's go now to clip number two. Here's Biden being asked about Trump in this prisoner exchange with Russia.
What a chance this whole thing.
President Trump has said repeatedly that he
he could have gotten the hostages out without giving anything in exchange. What do you say to that? What do you say to President Trump now, former president?
Why didn't he do it as president?
Sir, what did you say?
Oh, mic drop moment. Why didn't he do it when he was president? He goes stomping off. Because none of these people were prisoners when he was president. Because we weren't at war with Russia when he was president. Does that answer your question? Why didn't he do it when he was president? Why didn't George Bush do it when he was president? Why didn't Obama do it when he was president? Because of something called temporal permanency. This situation didn't exist at that time. I mean, I get it. I get it. Biden, he's not exactly in this world. He's not of this world. He is not with us in any real sense. His consciousness may be back in 2017, but yeah, we don't know. President Biden claims we're not at war anywhere in the world while U.S. is funding two wars, providing billions of dollars in weapons, and instigating World War III. Because, of course, we are at war. Of course we are. We weren't when Trump was president, which is sort of the point that I think he was making. Evan Gershkovich, Alsu Kermansheva, and Paul Whelan were part of the deal, which saw 24 people released in the biggest prisoner exchange between Russia and the West since the Cold War. They were welcomed on the tarmac at Joint Base Andrews in Maryland by U.S. President Joe Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris. The Wall Street Journal reporter Mr. Gershkovich could be seen hugging his mother, and Miss Kermasheva had an emotional reunion with her husband. The freed Americans lingered on the tarmac in Maryland, soaking up their moment. Gershkovich was held in Russia for almost 500 days while Paul Whelan was imprisoned in Russia for over 5 years. They took selfies with family members and friends, shared hugs with Mr. Biden and Ms. Harris, patted loved ones on the back, and smothered them with kisses. At one point, Mr. Biden gave Mr. Whelan a flag pin off his own lapel. Either, and I guess this is where we're at with Biden, either a sign of friendliness and respect, or just sort of an inexplicable action of a man who doesn't know what the hell he's doing. It could be either. No, it could be a very symbolic and meaningful thing, right? He takes the lapel pin off his own jacket and gives it to the prisoner on his return home. Could be very symbolic, or maybe he just thinks it's time to get undressed. We don't know. We're not sure. It's like, then he took his necktie off and started unbuttoning his shirt before a White House aide came to his rescue. No, it's all very amazing. It's all very incredible, these problems that they create and then solve. These wars that they start and then have some minor victory in and act like they're heroes. It really is incredible. I'm astonished, truly. I don't know if the crew can find the Trump Truth Social post about this. Or if Trump could just get back on X, either one of those would be great. Really, really having a hard time figuring out why Trump is not back on X. It's very frustrating. Here's his post from Truth Social. So when are they going to release the details of the prisoner swap with Russia? How many people did we get versus them? Are we also paying them in cash? Are they giving us cash? Please withdraw that question, because I'm sure the answer is no. Are we releasing murderers, killers, or thugs? Just curious, because we never make good deals at anything, but especially hostage swaps. Our negotiators are always an embarrassment to us. I got back many hostages and gave the opposing country nothing and never any cash. To do so is a bad precedent for the future. That's why it should be, or this situation will get worse and worse. They are extorting the United States of America. They're calling the trade complex so that nobody can figure out how bad it is. And yeah, he's probably right. He's probably right. So at least two of the three people released had been arrested in 2022. Or rather, the woman was detained in June 2023, accused of spreading false information about the Russian military. Last month, she was sentenced to more than 6 years in prison, but he didn't receive back. The only person that had been there for longer was a former U.S. Marine, Mr. Whelan, who'd been in custody in Russia since he was arrested in a Moscow hotel room on December 28th, 2018. Police said they caught him red-handed with a computer memory stick containing lists of Russian secret agents. He was convicted of espionage and sentenced to 16 years in maximum security prison. Mr. Whalen, who also holds British citizenship, has pled not guilty, claiming he was set up by a sting operation, that he'd been given the USB drive by somebody else, thinking it only contained holiday photos. He was probably a spy. Knowing only this about the situation, I'm going to say he was probably a spy. I don't know. Unless maybe he's never heard of Facebook. Maybe that's just how you share holiday photos when you are a multinational citizen. Let's stick with politics for a minute, because Kamala Harris, and I pointed this out yesterday, and I'm seeing more and more people sort of pick up on this, the fact that all of her media, all of her promotion in the last couple of weeks, since she was ordained from on high by a silent coup in the Democratic Party, all of the media has just been her dancing, mostly. Dancing and cackling and being rude, and this apparently makes her qualified to be president of the United States. Again, it is very, very bizarre if you really think about this. It might seem normal now in the political media landscape that is so distorted and bizarre. It doesn't actually, it's like, well, it's a TikTok video. Of course she's going to be dancing. But if you really think about what's happening here, is you have a presidential candidate whose primary pitch is to wiggle about, is to sort of flail her arms around. That's what they're pitching. Why vote for Kamala? Well, look at her fling her hands in the air. Look at her sort of just shuck and jive. That's why, that's the pitch. That's what she's got going for her. That and embarrassing code switching in front of different audiences. But she actually, and possibly by accident, made an unscripted statement for the first time since she became the front runner of the Democratic Party. Clip number 7, here's Kamala Harris in all of her rhetorical brilliance. Let's watch.
This is just an extraordinary testament to the importance of having a president who understands the power of diplomacy and understands the strength that rests in understanding the significance of diplomacy and strengthening alliances. This is an incredible day.
Looking around for a place to flee at the end there. And of course, the most interesting part of that video is Biden's face the entire time as he seems utterly confused at what the maid is doing on the tarmac. It's all very pathetic. J.D. Vance went to the southern border to hammer home the actual policy distinctions between Donald Trump and Kamala Harris. Gave a very powerful speech there at the southern border, visiting it, in fact, before Kamala ever did. Has she ever visited the border? I mean, this was like a big scandal a little while ago because she was border czar and had never visited the border. Did she ever? Maybe once. Maybe at one point. I don't remember it, though. Here's J.D. Vance hammering Kamala at the border. Clip 18.
President's comments yesterday to the National Association of Black Journalists, where he said that Vice President Harris is, quote, all of a sudden black. As a father of 3 biracial children, did those comments give you pause at all?
They don't give me pause at all. Look, all he said is that Kamala Harris is a chameleon. She goes to Georgia 2 days ago. She was raised in Canada. She puts on a fake southern accent. She is everything to everybody, and she pretends to be somebody different depending on which audience she's in front of. I think it's totally reasonable for the president to call that out, and that's all he did. I mean, look, she's running as a tough-on-crime prosecutor, even though she implemented open-border policies. She's saying that she wants to support the police, yet she wanted to defund the police just 3 years ago. It's totally reasonable to call out the fact that she pretends to be somebody different depending on the audience she's talking to.
All right. That was Vance at the southern border calling out Kamala Harris's malleable personality in front of different audiences. I was going to get to that in a second. Let's go now to clip 18. Here's Vance at the southern border hammering Kamala.
They started their administration. Kamala Harris came into office making promises, and she kept those promises to open the American southern border. They stopped deportations on day one. They stopped construction of the border wall on day one. We see the border wall sitting here, ready to be completed behind us, and that can't happen because of Kamala Harris's administration. They reinstated catch and release, and they stopped remain in Mexico. So all of these asylum claimants who come to our border, they can now get released into our country because they're not forced to stay in Mexico while we adjudicate their asylum claims. And we have to remember that as terrible and idiotic as these policies were, they cause real human beings to suffer. A lot of you know my story, and I have been a little kid waiting at the bedside of his mother, angry that his mom took something that she shouldn't have taken, but praying to God, please, Jesus, let her wake up. And the unfortunate truth is because of the poison that Kamala Harris has let come into this country, there are a lot of those prayers that won't be answered. There are a lot of parents that won't wake up because when you take fentanyl, you don't wake up. It takes your life. So there are a lot of kids out there who have been deprived of second chances with their moms and dads. There are a lot of moms and dads out there who will never see their kids walk down the aisle because of what Kamala Harris has unleashed at this border.
Yeah, so very powerful condemnation of Kamala Harris and her role as border czar, which has been so bad that the liberal media has pretended that it didn't exist. That's how you really know how they know the truth about what's going on. They know how bad the border is. They know what a big failure Kamala Harris has been. It's so big that they think the most viable tactic to deal with her record is to pretend it doesn't exist, which is absurd, which is crazy because she clearly was the borders. This is just a historical fact. She was the border czar. They all reported on it. Biden said it in the official press releases. So think about the absurdity of that claim and how that is the only viable way that they see to deal with her record at the border is to pretend it doesn't exist. Totally nuts. But of course, the Democrats are desperate to not make this contest about anything other than racial identity and her being a woman because she has no record. The record that she does have is abysmal in every respect. And if they can't convince their collectivist minions to vote for her on the basis of her immutable characteristics, they don't have a snowball's chance in hell of winning this race. And believe it or not, they're actually trying to frame this as a response to an attack by Donald Trump. And of course you believe it because it's the same thing that's happened over and over and over again. Again, the story from Politico. He wants to take us back. Democrats' I knew strategy against Trump's attacks on Harris. And we're just in this situation where I don't know what's wrong with Democrats. I don't know what they could possibly say that would be a bridge too far for their supporters. How they can possibly frame what's happening right now as if like it's Trump that's making things racial and they're just responding. I mean, what the hell, you guys?
This broadcast is listener supported. We try to bring you things that enrich your life so that you get a great response from it. You want to get it again. And we have a great line of amazing high quality products at InfoWarsStore.com called the InfoWars MD line. And we just discovered 2 years ago that one of the main suppliers of the companies we were using, that are also big companies, of the raw materials for things like bodies, ultimate turmeric formula, was this company. And they said, hey, keep selling your products. That's great. You get your product from us anyways. We can private label at our factory for you, put your label on our stuff, give people a discount. And that way, if you have supply chain issues, which we were having, we have got it for you. Well, that's what InfoWars MD is. The probiotic formula, the prebiotic formula, the good night's sleep, the nerve renew, the joint relief max is an amazing natural pain reliever, the ashwagandha and black pepper, the ashwagandha gummies, prostate support, And of course, the turmeric 95 is 95% normal turmeric, 4% to 5, works great for your whole body's inflammation, for your heart, your lungs, your joints, your bones. I told you, I said, we have the strongest turmeric in the country. The last 5 years, we did. And it was these guys that made it. They decided to make their own, watching us demand even a higher concentration. And so Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula is sold out right now at InfoWarsStore.com, and it is the same 95% turmeric, a little bit different formula of the other goodies they add to it. But it's all apples and oranges. It works great. Turmeric 95, InfoWars MD, InfoWarsStore.com, or 888-253-3139. We're selling out of the X2, the X3, and if we get shut down, that'll never be available again. But everything we have is in stock. And I'll have updates on the future of InfoWars soon. We've got a minimum of 2 months, maybe 4 or 5 months. And I've learned some major developments on that front that I'm not at liberty to talk about yet, but I will soon. Big breaking news. The deep state's out in the open, wanting this place shut down. You already saw that in the last 7 weeks. But we've got new intel that's incredible. And then separately, this is not our T-shirt. Our T-shirt's great. It's here. It's now shipping. But if you want to get the Hold the Line, Never Surrender shirt, it's holdtheline.com. They're one of the top Trump Patriot apparel producers in the country, and they have got on-demand printing. So when you order, it ships right out. They got factories in Arkansas. So if you want the new Hold the Line shirt, it says Never Surrender on the front. It's a color shirt. It's a beautiful shirt. And on the back, it says the answer to 1984 is 1776. And my signature, it is a limited edition shirt. Holdtheline.com. I cut a promo on it. Go ahead and roll it. Wear it proudly in public, and you'll probably get, it's what I've experienced, 95% love. You may have some leftists try to physically attack you as well, but it's an adventure to wear this shirt. I've been wearing it out in public, and it's been amazing. And you really see the grassroots support that President Trump has around the country, not just in red cities, red towns, and red states. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is a critical juncture for the Republic, and now is the time to wear our colors loud and proud. Go to holdtheline.com and use promo code Alex, and you get additional 10% off. By wearing this shirt in public, you raise your fist in defiance with President Trump and myself and many others, the globalist tyranny, and say, we will never surrender to the New World Order. And the answer to your tyranny is 1776. We will never surrender. We will fight, fight, fight. Because the answer to 1984 is 1776. Fight. Fight.
You're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Former president's comments yesterday to the National Association of Black Journalists, where he said that Vice President Harris is, quote, all of a sudden black. As a father of three biracial children, did those comments give you pause at all?
They don't give me pause at all. Look, all he said is that Kamala Harris is a chameleon. She goes to Georgia 2 days ago. She was raised in Canada. She puts on a fake Southern accent. She is everything to everybody, and she pretends to be somebody different depending on which audience she's in front of. I think it's totally reasonable for the president to call that out, and that's all he did. I mean, look, she's running as a tough-on-crime prosecutor, even though she implemented open-border policy. She's saying that she wants to support the police, yet she wanted to defund the police just 3 years ago. It's totally reasonable to call out the fact that she pretends to be somebody different depending on the audience she's talking to.
And that is, of course, the point. And I wonder, I mean, how should Trump react to any of this? I mean, obviously, the racial aspects of this election are a core principle of the Democrat strategy. Basically, the first thing that happened when Kamala Harris was chosen by Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi and Obama and whatever other shadowy figures decided she would be a good puppet for them. The first thing that happened was black women for Kamala. Black women coming together to support a black woman. How should Trump respond to Democrats making race a central pillar of their campaign? To ignore it completely? To not point out the fallaciousness, the falsity of their claims, even about her own racial identity? When he's asked a direct question about this, is there a way to possibly answer it that doesn't open the door for these types of attacks by the Democrats? Of course not. Of course not. They make race the central part of their campaign, and no matter how Trump responds to it, they frame it as an attack and claim that it was Trump who initiated this whole controversy. Taking us right back to their tried and true tactic of just making everything suck for everyone. They say it didn't take long for former President Donald Trump to return to his well-worn playbook of resorting to attacks based on race and gender. Again, I mean, just really, really, we got to go through this again. We got to do this all over again. Again, 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 again. I said it yesterday, I'll say it again. The minute Donald Trump said only Rosie O'Donnell, that should have been the last time this tactic was attempted. It doesn't make sense on the face of it. Donald Trump's primary enemies have always been white dudes, right? Think about some of his most famous insults against people. He's called him Rand Paul ugly. He's saying Ted Cruz is the Zodiac killer. Joe Biden, Bill Clinton. I mean, just what are we doing here? What are we doing? Like, how can we get over this as a country? How can we stop people being so easily manipulatable? For your own good, you should not fall for this. It is so obvious. But regardless, this is just how it works now. If they're a woman, if they're not white, if they're anything other than a white Christian man, you cannot insult them. You cannot talk about them negatively. You cannot suggest they're unqualified for a job, even if you are competing against that person in a contest of who's more qualified than in the job. You can't say anything. You can't say anything about their race, even when they make it a central pillar of their entire campaign. You can't say anything about their gender, despite the fact that the majority of people I've seen trying to pitch Kamala, their argument is the Jeff Bridges yesterday. How cool would it be to have a woman president? You guys, a woman president. What? It's like, so we're supposed to simultaneously think that people that aren't white men are just as capable and able to do the job as a white man, but can't handle being insulted, can't handle being attacked, can't handle having an unkind word to say about them. It's either or. Either these people are just human beings and you can treat them like every other human being, or they're like children that need to be protected and coddled and shielded from mean words. You can't have both. Again, it's like draining for me to have to cover this over and over. Democrats assert that the lessons learned from Trump's campaign 8 years ago guide their strategy now. Respond aggressively, use his attacks to bolster the campaign's message, and don't let them distract from the issues. The only campaign talking about the issues right now is Donald Trump. J.D. Vance is on the border talking about Kamala's border failure. Donald Trump is talking about peace with Russia, peace in Ukraine. All they do is talk about the issues. the DEI campaign, which is what it is. Again, I guess I need to pull in the videos. I guess I need to pull in the official White House documents. Now, Joe Biden saying, I wanted to put diversity, equity, and inclusion first and foremost in my campaign, which is why I picked Kamala as vice president. That's what he said. So they can say these things. They put these things in the forefront. Then if you point them out, then you read this article and it's like the image that you're left with is these you know, poor, innocent, diverse Democrats just trying to do the work of the country, just trying to make life better for everybody. And standing in their way are these bigots who are just there to jeer and mock them for their race and ethnicity. And so they're having to combat this. They're strategizing on how do we just be good people and not succumb to these attacks. It's like it is so just utterly illusionary, false, ridiculous. That thinking guided their response to Trump's interview at the National Association of Black Journalists Conference in Chicago on Wednesday, where he questioned Vice President Kamala Harris's black ancestry and suggested she was chosen for the job only as a DEI hire. She was. Let's go now to clip number 8, where apparently Mindy Kaling, the maybe most despised woman in Hollywood at this moment because of her Velma series, which itself is just it's just full of hate. It's just a hateful, like anti-white. It's just all, she's a terrible person. So here's two of the most terrible people in America talking about how they're both Indian. Let's watch. Clip number 8.
What we're going to cook today is an Indian recipe.
Yes.
Because you are Indian.
Yes.
Okay. And I don't know that everybody knows that. But I find that wherever I go and I see Indian people at the supermarket, on the street, everyone's like, you know, Kamala Harris is Indian, right? It's like our thing we're so excited about to have you running for president.
Yeah.
So we're both Indian.
Yes.
But actually, we're both South Indian.
Yes. You look like the entire one half of my family.
Okay. Thank you.
You do.
I've been telling people we're related already, so this is perfect. It's basically true. And so were you raised eating South Indian food?
South Indian food.
Yeah, Mindy is literally blacker than Kamala. Quite literally. So yeah, of course she's Indian. And of course she's black. And of course that's why you should vote for her. But how dare you bring it up, Donald Trump? It's this type of stuff that, thank God, is driving some people away from the Democratic Party. I'm going to show you a powerful example of that on the other side. We're going to stick with American politics here.
There are a lot of amazing green drinks out there, and the amount of evidence is just massive of how good they are for our whole bodies, but especially our guts. Our immune systems, our vitality, it's so important. But not all of them are made equal. I couldn't operate in the last 10 years without my morning green drink. And I'm telling you, folks, when I started trying this product just about 6 months ago, it was game-changing. It was so much more powerful than any of the products I'd used before. Optimal Human is hands down the best concentrated green drink out there on the market. And we're so excited to be partnering with them to bring it to you discounted with 25% off when you follow this particular link. And it's so simple. You go to optimalhuman.com/Alex. For yourself and your family, I hope you try Optimal Human now by going to optimalhuman.com/Alex and supporting the InfoWar.
I do want to tell you about InfoWars MD. Discover the newest line of supplements from InfoWars designed to boost vitality and enhance overall well-being, available exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. Whether you're looking to support immune health, improve cognitive function, or increase energy levels, our meticulously crafted formulas cater to diverse needs. We have Ageless Vitality Collagen, Superfood Greens, Mushroom Max, Turmeric 95, Better Mood Plus, Libido RX, CBD, Full Spectrum 10 and 25 milligram gummies, as well as so much more. The premium InfoWars Life line. It's InfoWars MD, and it's available now 25% off at InfoWarsStore.com. I suggest the collagen, and just search it yourself. I'm not going to make any medical claims here, but search the importance of collagen in the aging process and see why taking collagen as a supplement can be perhaps the most powerful thing you do to reverse the signs of aging.
A lot of people have been asking me how they support InfoWars in this critical fight. And it's simple. Support our sponsors. And we brought you something really special that's a limited edition. It is a campaign coin. You've seen campaign coins from different wars, Vietnam, World War II, you name it. Some wars were just, some wars were bad. But still, we've supported the troops and their memento of the campaign they've been through. Well, we're working with one of the top companies in America that is supporting so many great conservative talk show hosts like the Hodge Twins and so many others. We've come up with so many of these beautiful coins. And this one is the Hold the Line coin. It is a limited edition. And this campaign coin is only $30. You get an additional 10% off with promo code Alex at HoldTheLine.com. HoldTheLine.com. It's got the Liberty Bell. It says Fight for Freedom with other inscriptions. On the reverse side, it's got key quotes from the Bill of Rights, from true Americana history. This is a piece of history that funds the InfoWar. So this is a limited edition for InfoWars. If you want to support the broadcast, get the Hold the Line coin right now at HoldTheLine.com. This is how you show the globalists that you're a patriot and you stood up for America and you help hold the line, the most critical point in the InfoWar. Go to HoldTheLine.com and get 10% off with the promo code Alex. It's an amazing limited edition coin. I'm firing the bat signal like Colonel Travis the Alamo. Victory or death, we need your support. It's a piece of history. You get a big discount with promo code Alex. Now go to HoldTheLine.com right now and get the coin, HoldTheLine.com. You want to keep us on air? Get a piece of history? Take action now. HoldTheLine.com.
Talking about domestic politics here for a minute, and again the chaos that has been wrought in on the Democratic side of the aisle by their seemingly arbitrary and malleable racial designations. And I've already explained this throughout this week, but it is very simple. They have nothing to run on for Kamala Harris. And if she's not black, is only pretending to be black, well, they're not going to vote for her. I'm not kidding. We've shown more videos like this, but they keep coming out. Clip number 5. Here's Democrats being asked about Kamala Harris's accomplishments rather than her identity. Let's watch.
Attorney General in California, and she was the senator from California. I really don't know much of what she did.
I'm not sure I know enough about her accomplishments to answer that question.
The way that she carries herself.
She was attorney general in her state. She moved up to becoming, the vice president of the United States. So she has definitely she's definitely made her stamp in history of being the first African-American female vice president and soon to be first vice president as a woman of color.
Okay. This country wants substance and solutions, not sugary identity politics.
Yeah, I wish. I wish that was the case. But no, they really don't want substance. They really actually don't care about substance. If they did, we wouldn't be in this mess. They might as well be running a stuffed animal at this point. And everybody's arguing how soft its fur is, right? It's like, what even is this? They might as well be running a cartoon character. And we're all arguing, whether or not it's hand-drawn or computer animated. It's like, this has nothing to do with what the contest is supposed to be. And we'll get into the comments about childish cat ladies, childless cat ladies, in a second. The good news about this, even if it's a silver lining to a massive cloud, even if this isn't exactly representative of the overall Democratic populace, the tens of millions of people that seem happy to swallow the lies, there are some more intelligent Democrats that are finally pushing back on the absurdity of their entire party at this point. There's a very powerful post on X by David Marcus. I kind of just want to read the whole thing. And again, the most amazing thing about this is how obvious it is. Everything he's pointing out. The terrifying thing is that this guy is unique in that he is able to wield the mental fortitude to break away from his cult-like party. That's what he's describing here. Let's just read it, shall we? He says, "I am crossing the Rubicon and backing the Republican Party and President Trump. Many, including a former version of myself, get trapped in a mental framework that becomes their identity and prevents them from radically evolving their thinking with new facts and information." He is describing a cult, folks. "I finally broke free from it. My journey has been a gradual political 180 from where I stood in every previous election. It has been an eye-opening process of disenchantment, zero-basing lifelong beliefs, and rebuilding from there. In 2017, a good friend enlisted me to pitch the DNC to raise $100 million from Silicon Valley founders and executives. The aim was to use these funds and know-how to build a CRM, that's like a customer management tool, and tech platform to prevent a repeat of Hillary Clinton's inadequate, outdated 2016 campaign. We met with DNC leadership who told us we could raise that money, but it would have to go to the general fund. A single-digit percentage would then be allocated to tech. In the wake of one of their most shocking failures, they didn't want the help. The next series of realizations began in 2019 when I was at Meta. Right after we announced the Libra white paper, I testified before the Senate and House and subsequently spent significant time in D.C. engaging with lawmakers, cabinet members, regulators, and two White House administrations. At the time, I still believed the mainstream idea that Democrats were all about serving the people. However, I was shocked to learn, for the most part, Republicans cared more deeply about their constituents, while Democrats, in my experience, cared more about government power and control. This is my observation on balance, with many stories to back it up. I also found that more Republicans wanted to understand our project's goals and took the time to learn about the risks of censoring payments and controlling the network. I found myself remarkably aligned with them. Then COVID came, revealing more. While I don't subscribe to the most malicious vaccine conspiracy theories, I do take offense at the censorship machine put in place to hide the origins of the virus from the NIH-funded Wuhan lab and all dissenting voices on vaccinations and lockdowns. At that time, I fully appreciated why Republicans value freedom of speech and preventing censorship. The trend of spinning and manufacturing a parallel reality to serve the dim agenda, solidified by complicit mainstream media, hit home with the Hunter Biden laptop story, the coordinated vilification of President Trump and his followers, and President Biden's cognitive decline, depriving voters of a voice in a proper primary. These examples displayed the hubris of the current dim leadership. You must think the American people are fools to believe the spin on these issues. I despise this elite versus general population ideology viscerally. This version of the Democratic Party is sidelining moderate and centrist who has adopted an increasingly leftist ideology. Party is sidelining this drift to the left has dictated policies from which I find myself estranged. On the domestic front, there's been a total departure from the core American value system of meritocracy, an extreme and weaponized DEI agenda, an open door to massive illegal immigration, and a once fringe narrative now mainstream within the party of vilifying success. This shift is also causing us to fall behind due to an anti-innovation regulatory climate, notably on crypto and soon AI, two nonlinear technology breakthroughs that will likely determine tomorrow's leading countries. On foreign policy, the administration is exacerbating tensions with Russia through an aggressive NATO expansion narrative focused on Ukraine and prolonging an unwinnable war. This is costing American taxpayers hundreds of billions of dollars, the world hundreds of thousands of lives, depleting the U.S. military arsenals and risking World War III. It's like, how bad does it have to get? How many things can you point to? It's everything constantly from these people. This is the thing. It's like, great, dude, you finally woke up to this. Do you think any of this is new by any measure? It's like, great. Great. You realized. You finally realized the sky is blue. But you got to, it's like this is just the first step. All of this stuff is obvious. All of this stuff is readily apparent to anybody. You don't even need to do your own research. You don't need to, you know, go find alternative sources. If you have a modicum of intelligence and an ounce of skepticism, you can watch the mainstream media and learn all of this. It's all obvious. This is what I don't understand. When you watch a broadcast of a series of questions, we've got Democrats and Republicans going back and forth questioning somebody about anything, doesn't matter, about censoring the internet, about Secret Service, about whatever. All the Democrats have, all they ever push, is empty virtue signaling crap. And the Republicans, all they talk about are principles. It's frustrating at a certain point how much Republicans care about principles. Like, it can be inhibitive to achieving things a lot of times. But that's all they talk. They talk about free speech. They talk about rights. They talk about the Constitution. They talk about getting people back to work and prosperity. You don't even need somebody to tell you this. All you need is to not fall for the lies. So simple. It's absurdly simple. So let's keep going. On Iran, the administration is continuing a misguided Obama-era plan to bring Iran closer to the West by unfreezing Trump-era sanctions, thus giving the mullahs' regimes the ability to fund terrorism and pursue its anti-American, anti-Israel, anti-Jewish agenda. The withdrawal from Afghanistan also handled disastrously. We're leaving the door open to China to invade Taiwan by coming across as weak. More importantly to me, concerning Israel, the administration is enabling Iran to fund Hamas and Hezbollah, restraining Israel in its fight against against its enemies, thus prolonging another conflict, which is costing more lives on both sides and allowing unprecedented levels of anti-Semitism to rise at home. And that, of course, is the real point of basically all of this, right? None of this stuff is new by any means. All of this stuff has been obvious to anybody paying attention since at least 2016. When these lies, when the pushing of DEI and the death of meritocracy, all that stuff. It's the Israel stuff that finally got this guy to actually make the change. He was fine with all of this until it came to Israel. Because that's what's happening right now, and that's why now is the time that he's switching over. Which is sad and pathetic also. But whatever, dude. Whatever gets you on the right side, we could save this country.
All right, folks. BrainForce Ultra is back in stock. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. Before I started working here at InfoWars, I didn't believe that supplements really worked. I thought these were just products that people consume for peace of mind and that our body would flush them out. But one of the first products I ever took was BrainForce Plus, which is the capsule version of BrainForce Ultra. And this is actually more powerful than BrainForce Plus. But the first time I ever took BrainForce Plus, I noticed within 20 minutes that I had a change in my state of mind. And ever since then, I believed in our products and I believed in supplementation as an important part of health. So BrainForce Ultra is particularly special because it's a more potent and convenient form than BrainForce Plus. Now, it's not only going to help you with enhanced cognitive function, focus, but it also is going to help you with increased energy levels. We know that the formula includes yerba mate leaf and green tea leaves, both of which contain natural caffeine and polyphenols. These components provide a sustained energy boost without the crash. Ashwagandha root and ginkgo leaf are included for their adaptogenic and antioxidant properties. Not only will this product help enhance mental clarity and focus, enhance energy levels, but it will do so in a way that reduces stress so you don't feel the anxiety associated with too much caffeine, energy drinks, perhaps like an Adderall or a nicotine. These are all great reasons to buy BrainForce Ultra from InfoWarsStore.com. But perhaps the best reason to get this product, BrainForce Ultra, from InfoWarsStore.com is because by buying products from InfoWarsStore.com, you keep InfoWars on the air. Now, we know that freedom of speech is under attack. We know that there's a war on for your mind, that the globalists and transhumanists and the New World Order are trying to conglomerate all political power so they can subjugate humanity for the indefinite future. But we're not going to let that happen because we're going to do things like go to InfoWarsStore.com. We're going to get BrainForce Ultra. We're going to fight and win the war that is on for our minds, all while keeping InfoWars on the air. So please visit InfoWarsStore.com right now, get BrainForce Ultra, and be the reason we are still on the air.
Thank you.